Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, your wonderful, matchless love for us, Father. We ask now as we go to your word that we would have real clarity as to how impactful our lives can be as we walk by faith. How, Lord, we can be a people of prayer and a people of encouragement. So we thank you for these truths, and once again, thank you for this time we have in Christ's name. Amen. Read about a church in Christianity Today. It's a church in Texas that was running like over 5,000 people. Now, that's a small church in Texas. I'm not kidding. I mean, and so, but for whatever reason, the pastor decided that he no longer believed that the wages of sin was death. He no longer believed in hell. And he no longer believed that Jesus Christ was the only way and that the Bible was the Word of God. So the question is, what kind of impact did it have on the church? The answer is that very quickly, 90% of the people found another church to go to. Every once in a while, I'll go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't tell my wife. Oh. Sorry, honey. I really didn't know she was there. But if I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, I like their chicken wings. I think they're very tasty. But if I get there and they said, "I'm sorry, but we don't have any chicken," I'm thinking, "You're Kentucky Fried Chicken." "Yeah, we just decided we're not doing chicken anymore." "Well, then call it something else. Kentucky Fried whatever." Friends, the church has a purpose. Amen. And the purpose is the gospel. Last week we pondered the issue of Paul's perspective. And Paul, he starts out by saying, "Paul, I am an apostle. I'm a bondservant of the Lord. I have been set apart for the gospel of God." And so he talks about the gospel being validated by Holy Scripture, by the words of the prophets and the promises of prophecies fulfilled, and by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So hundreds and hundreds of years, even thousands of years of prophecies saying the Messiah is going to come. He came. God is a man, died on the cross, rose from the dead. That's the validation of the gospel. Nobody else can claim something like that. The claims of Christ, he created the universe and he redeemed the universe. He redeemed us. So that's the gospel. And Paul says, later on in last week we talked about, we are all called to this work, not just the apostles. Not just Pastor Jason, myself, and Paul, and Jeff, and Katie. We're all called to go. So the issue then is the issue of the purpose or the mission of the church ought to be very, very clear. We ought to be the people who are bringing the gospel to the world. If you walk through the doors of this church, right out there is our mission statement, is to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ and to make him known. So the mission of our church is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible to know Christ and make him known. And we shouldn't be satisfied if there are, first of all, pockets of our own community that are where people are in darkness, they've never heard the gospel. I think there's plenty of people who have heard something, but they haven't heard the gospel. They haven't heard the clear gospel. They've heard about church. They've heard about pastors, they've heard about, but they, no one's really been able to put it together. Here's what the gospel is. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks, the importance of that. Today we'll talk about the issue of the mission of the church is strengthened by praise of faith, by prayer and partnership. But let's go ahead, and if we would, let's read this together, all right? So here we go, I'll turn it around. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests. If perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us being other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Amen. So we want to look at the issue here that he is praising them for something. And the first thing, he's praising them for their faith. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Now, this church is in Rome. Rome was the center of the civilized world at the time. Yes, there were people living in the Andes. Yes, there were people living in China. Yes, there were people living in a lot of places. But the center of the world we're talking about here in the Bible times was Rome itself. And not really a very easy place to live as a Christian, because it was not only filled with a multitude of beliefs and other gods and idols and stuff like that, but you had the supreme power of the Caesars. And some of them were quite weird and determined that they were gods themselves. So when the Christians came along and the gospel got to Rome, I think it got to Rome because the day of Pentecost, people were in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit being poured out, and they were from all over the place. I believe there were people there, probably even from Rome. Maybe they went back and they told the story. They told the, and the gospel itself, man, it's got legs. Why? Because it's the truth. Well, so we find here that it says being proclaimed, the Greek word katagalo, which means to basically proclaim something openly and loudly. So you're not, they weren't whispering about this. They're going home to Rome and saying, wow, we just heard about God who came, who was the answer to Old Testament prophecies, and he rose from the dead, and he's alive, and he's our Lord. He's our solution. And that began to spread all over Rome. A church was started. Friends, genuine faith has that kind of impact on people, and the word gets around. Well, there's something peculiar about that. I read years ago a book called The Spreading Flame by a guy named F.F. Bruce. Great book. And you can buy a used copy of it on Amazon for about $12 if you don't care about the dust cover, what it looks like. It is the history of the church from the resurrection to when the gospel got to the British Isles. All right? It's one of the greatest books ever written about church history. So if you want to read something deep and cool, The Spreading Flame by F.F. Bruce. And his description of the gospel spreading like a flame, not just from Jerusalem, not just from Antioch, but from Rome. It was spreading around. Now, I have a picture of the world here now. So that's our world. Don't you love maps? How many of you like maps? I might love maps. All right. So this obviously is not a map of the first century, right? So I want you to pretend. That's the map. And we know this. I could have had, well, here's how it got from Rome to whatever. But we're not in Rome. We're in Kelseyville, right? We're in Lake County. And the question is, can we as a church have an impact globally for the cause of Christ? And the answer is, not only can we, but we are. So here's what I did this week. Next. All right. That's our impact. All right. And that's just within the last 10 years, right? So this church has been around for 40 years, planting seeds, supporting missionaries, all kinds of cool things. I really don't have the time to go into each one of them, but I'm going to read off missionaries currently that we're supporting. And the reason why we're doing this is not because of some legalistic thing. Well, you know, you got to do this. No, because I believe that this church has the I can't help it. What is the I can't help it? Man, I just can't help tell them about Jesus. I just got to tell people about Jesus. Why? Because Christ is the solution. Whether you're in Kelseyville, Lake County, Clear Lake, North Shore, or Taiwan, or in Wuhan, China, or in New Zealand, Jesus Christ is the answer. And people need to know about Jesus because only Jesus saves. So here's some of our missionaries. We have Daryl and Carol Anderson with ESC Reach Global. Now, Daryl, he's been here before. His job is to make sure that the missionaries with our denomination, if they're in a jam, and this often happens, under threat of death, persecution, whatever, having their heads chopped off, I'm not exaggerating. He's the guy they call. Daryl gets them out of Dodge. All right? We have Christopher and Jyothi Rotham in India. They've been doing curriculum and helping for reaching kids all over and people all over India. We have my dear friend Jose and Sylvia Miranda with Casa, New Wine, Mexico and Central America. He just got back from blessing a church in Chiapas, right? Now, I wouldn't recommend you going there. And I said, you're going where? I mean, there's like terrorists and bandidos and stuff like that. But the church is thriving. And so Jose Miranda is really our local, like a bishop, who is helping to oversee and keep an umbrella over Casa, over New Wine, and also a church in Nevada in Hispanic ministries. Paul and Carolyn Wigg, they were here recently. And they're doing, and we've helped support them, and also you've helped support helping their orphans with having a bed. And we've also helped support their church planters. They go out into India, and it's dangerous out there. Some of them have been beat up. So, I mean, despairing even of life, some of these guys, for the cause of Christ. We have our dear Sakura in Baja. We built her a little house so she can feed people. She's been feeding kids there for 6 years now. Kids that wouldn't be able to go to school because they don't have any food or shoes. And so we partnered with her. She moved back from Napa to the Valley of Guadalupe. It's a big difference, I tell you right now. I'm just telling you. How many of you have been there? All right, some of you have been there. We helped her. We still need to help her with another toilet and stuff, and we're helping with resources all the time. Why? Because she's changing the life of children with the cause of Christ. Pierce and Diane Westfall of Jesus Mission, we've had their musicians here, a part of that, and they're doing work all over Europe and all over camps in the United States. They're doing and telling about Christ in the plazas of Hungary and Berlin and things like that. We have Ernest and Effie Dick, Reach Global. They were for years in Venezuela. they had to get out of Dodge there because it was their lives are at risk. And now God is using them all over South America, Central America, Cuba, Mexico, training up and training leaders all over there. Man, they're just, when I sit down with these guys, I'm like, wow. I feel like the cause of Christ just exudes from their pores. John Ramey, Aslan's child, John and I are in contact with each other weekly. Pray for him. He just went to Mali, where our Vacation Bible School kids sent money off to the deaf school in Mali. Now, if you want to know what Mali looks like, go to Barstow, and then about 5 miles outside of Barstow, that's what Mali looks like. Don't go there, yeah. All right, Jason's survived it, all right? I'm just saying Mali is on the cutting edge of a lot of things, of climate change and the Sierra Desert coming in, but also Boko Haram, these people coming in and wiping out Christians. And there are Vacation Bible School kids were able to provide the first gift ever from an outside church to help them. Help them with some desks and some reading materials. And so we're still trying to, man, I want to do more for them, right? These are on the cutting edge of things. Pray for John because he's the guy who's missionaries are calling when their life began to fall apart and when they're scared, they're calling up John. And so pray for John. What a great man. Bernie and Cheryl Bovenkamp, Starfish Ministry in Haiti. What a beautiful couple in that long-term commitment to Haiti, poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Brett and Christy Zimmerman serving at that camp up in Alaska. Some of us had a privilege of going there and helping to build a house for them. But the kids coming to that camp are kids from tribal areas, native groups around, and they're coming there, and this is a place of peace for them. And the alcoholism and the abuse and the things that happen that are rampant, they come, and here's a safe place. Friends, you're part of that. It is your faith. It is your giving that's making that happen. Your name is being known around the world. Your faith. Lalo and Patricia Serafin, Helping Hands Ministry right here in our county, giving out tons of food every month to help people in our county. My dearest friend, Rich Frazier, SOS, Spiritual Overseers Services, ministering in Africa, Europe, Caribbean, Nepal. He and I have been friends for so long, and I'm on the board of SOS. What we're trying to do is send pastors and Bible college teachers overseas to train people so that they can continue to train people. It's exciting. You've met Pradeep Jad. Pradeep, we helped him out this Christmas, and right now, right as we're speaking, one of the classes that you helped pay for, 20 leaders in Nepal are being trained in ministry. Amen. So that when they finish this two-year curriculum, which will end next year about this time, then those 20 will each find 20. Why? Because it's against the law to share your faith in Nepal. You share your faith with someone, that's a $500 fine. If that person converts from Hinduism to Christianity, you go to jail for 3 to 5 years. I'm going to be going there in September. What's the worst they can do to me is kick me out of the country. So we have to have these meetings covertly. Why? We got to train people. Why? Because that's what we do. Because it's not an option whether we share the gospel or not. Let me keep going here. Gina Glasscock, who Sue and I grew up with in Ukiah, who came to Christ and was part of the youth group with Tom and Karen over in Ukiah. She's been with Campus Crusade, now Crew, for 35 years. She was in the Middle East. Now she's in Boston, reaching out and discipling some of the brightest bulbs from all over the world, young women coming from all over the place in those high-end Ivy League schools in Boston. Mike and Becky Sexton, who have been faithful as the Awana missionaries, were going and encouraging Awana leaders all over Northern California. Daniel from Starfish Ministries, we've met Daniel. We've seen him grow up before our eyes. What a great man of God. You know that this year alone, he wasn't able to go home sometimes. There's so much turmoil in Haiti that you couldn't travel the streets because of gangs. And now things have calmed down. Danny and Janie Benitez, Pastor at CASA. What a wonderful young man. What a great job, blessing it is to partner with CASA to reach the Hispanic community of Lake County. You know that, and they say that it changes, but the data that I see that by the year 2050, that half the population of Lake County will probably be Hispanic. So we may just be given, you know, hey, so they have their services at 2 o'clock every Sunday. And if Danny said, hey, man, I think, could we do an 8 o'clock service? I'd try to figure it out, use the gym. We're here to reach people, not to play church. All right? And I don't know why every Anglo church in North America doesn't say, man, I'm going to partner with a person like Danny or Pastor Jose. It's ridiculous. These are not our buildings, they're God's, the kingdom's buildings, right? Anyway, maybe I'm off base, you know. No, I'm not off base, I know. Patrick Pang, my dear friend. That guy's got more energy than 15 people. Get it, I love you. You know. I've got to calm him down sometimes, you know. But he's the perfect guy, born in Singapore. And God is using him to bring the Bible to unreached people group. And this church giving thousands of dollars to help the Bible being translated into unreached tongues. Friends, that's, you know, that this church, just in the last 6 years, for Christmas time, has given almost $200,000 additional dollars into missions. Why? Because Christmas ought not to be just about getting a new sweater or a video game or a gift certificate for Uncle John because you're not sure what to get him. But it ought to be, Lord, help. How can we get the gospel out? Zila and Clayton Chamberlain got an email from them this week that pray for them because they're under quarantine. 90% of the food that comes into Mongolia comes from China, and the border's closed. So they're having to kind of scrape around and stuff. But they're in the least densely populated country in the world, Mongolia. And who moves their family to Mongolia? If not by the fact that the Spirit of God says, I'm not done yet. Friends, the world is not reached yet. Tells us in Matthew chapter 24, and the gospel will be proclaimed to the whole world, and then the end will come. And so part of it is this. I want to tell you, not just the church in Rome, but the church in Kelseyville, that your faith is known around the world. And let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. Like to have at some point one of my dear friends, Joni Strom, come. Joni, we were trained together in Modesto years ago, and she would spend 35 years of her life teaching English as a second language and discipling women in China. What is God? Maybe God's not going to call you to Mongolia or China, but he's calling every one of us to participate in the greatest adventure in the whole universe, and that is the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? What is it built upon? Well, it's built upon a foundation. Matthew 16, 17 to 18. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed to you. You did not learn this from human beings. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the power of hell will not conquer it." It's not Peter, it's on his confession. His confession was that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the foundation of the church. Jesus is the foundation of the church. Not some wimpy Jesus, not some good teacher Jesus, but the creator of the heavens and the earth, who would redeem mankind, raised from the dead, who's coming again. He's the foundation of the church. And the gates, it says, all powers of hell will not conquer it. I was with a group of pastors last week, and they were bemoaning the fact that church attendance, a lot of places going down, and the next generation coming up, that they aren't going to church as much, and what's going to happen, and are enough pastors, da, da, da. And I said, you know what, that's the same thing they were saying in the 1960s. You know what God did? He started a revival in the hearts of young people. Not just in California, but around the country. God's not done yet. And God's not done with our church. And so there's plenty of people who still need to hear. And it won't just be because of your pastors and elders. We're committed to that. But God will use each one of us because we're all called. So that's the first thing about the issue of the gospel. That first of all, they are praised for it. And that our mission has to be filled with the praise of saying, we're going to share the good news, not just here, but around the world. The next thing we see is it is the mission of the church is strengthened by praise. Next, it is strengthened by prayer. Look at this, verses 9 and 10. "For God, whom I serve in my spirit and preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness of how unceasingly I may mention of you, always in my prayers making requests, if perhaps now at last the will of God in me succeed in coming to you." Paul, this is Paul's methodology. He tells them why he's writing, but he's also saying that prayer is this critical part in the proclamation of the gospel. Let me read some stuff. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15, 16. "For this reason, ever since I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you or mentioning you in my prayers." Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 and 6. "In all my prayers for you, I always pray for joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Colossians 1, 3 and 4. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for God's people." Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work producing by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Man, this is rich, right? This is rich. In each one of those, he's saying, man, I thank God for your faith. It's just producing fruit. And I'm praying for you. Friends, prayer opens doors. Now, he says, I'm praying that I can come and visit you. Did that happen immediately? No. Did he get on a plane or a boat and go right straight from Corinth, where he's probably writing this thing? No. It would be a very circuitous route. He would get down and to Jerusalem, gets thrown into prison in Caesarea, get on this wild boat ride, shipwrecked and stuff. Why didn't God just make it easy for him? Because God doesn't promise to make it easy. Along the way, every spot along the way for Paul, he had the opportunity to proclaim the good news. Even on the island of Malta, where he's bit by a snake. Well, man, if God loved you, you'll never get bit by a snake, right? No. God used that. It confounded the people on the island of Malta. They go, oh, he must be a bad guy. Oh, no, he must be a god. And then he was able to share about Jesus Christ with the island of Malta. Friends, God wants to use your life, where you're at right now, all the troubles and challenges you face, to put you in proximity to people who need to see Jesus and hear about Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. Pastor John Piper said this, prayer is the open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves and to God with the confidence that he will provide the help we need. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. Prayer, without prayer, the mission of the church will not succeed. With it, it cannot fail. To know Christ and make him known. Can't do it without prayer. Because we're begging God, Lord, please help us. Hudson Taylor, one of my heroes, missionary in inland China. Do not work so hard for Christ that you have no strength for prayer. For prayer requires strength. He also would say this, brother, if you would enter that province, you must go forth on your knees. Friends, there are some places that are just dangerous, scary, in our own county. All right, there are some places, I won't name them, in our county, man, I'm having to kind of look both ways, right? Why? There's lawlessness. There's people who are on the ragged edge. But they need the Lord too. Mary Slessor said this, prayer is the greatest power God has put into our hands for service. Praying is harder than doing. At least I find so. But the dynamic lies that way to advance the kingdom. Prayer is hard because it takes concentration. And the enemy doesn't want you to pray. He wants you to worry. Charles Spurgeon would say this, intercessory prayer is an act of communion with Christ, for Christ pleads for his son, for the sons of men. Jonathan Edwards, that great man of God, prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is life. E.M. Bounds said, prayer honors God, acknowledges his being, exalts his power, adores his providence, secures his aid. And lastly, Oswald Chambers says, we have to pray with our eyes on God and not on the difficulties. Friends, Paul understood that the spread of the gospel, what could he do? He's there hundreds or 1,000 miles away from Rome, probably 800 miles away. What could he possibly do? He writes him a letter and he says, but man, I'm going to pray. Here's what prayer can do. Prayer can impact things instantly, globally. You want to change our country? This craziness of a political system at times. If you're not praying, then you're not being Christian. We change the hearts of people through prayer. Because we're begging God, oh God, please let your power be unleashed. That's why it tells us later on in Romans, maybe we ought to be praying for our governing authorities. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. Prayer changes things. Prayer opens doors. Question, does God have all of you? Romans chapter 6, verse 13 in the Living Bible says this, give yourself completely to God since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool for doing what is right to God's glory. And what C.S. Lewis says about that, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. The gospel is not the gospel if it's moderately important. It is, and we'll find out next week. Pastor Jason brings the word. I mean, this is the power of God into salvation. Well, what does that mean? It means a lot, right? Friends, the gospel is not moderately important. It's why we exist. That's why we're here today. It'd be much more convenient for me if the Lord just took me home right now. Man, I get to be in glory. No more bad knees. Don't have to worry about the septic system out here, you know, which is being fixed. Amen? All right, but it's a big job. So anyway, I'm just thinking, wouldn't his mercy be, well, did he just take us all home? Because we deserve it, right? No, he's left us behind, and he has put into our hands the most precious thing, and that's to share the gospel. Will it be rejected by some? Yeah. Always has been. They crucified Christ, and he was the gospel itself. So here's the last one. First, it's our mission is strengthened by the praise of faith, next by prayer, and lastly is by partnership. Here's what it says in verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged, we may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often we have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Here's what it says in Philemon, all right, about this partnership thing. Philemon verses 5 and 6, 7. Because I heard about your love for all the holy people and your faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective and deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Friends, the issue then is that the gospel is in fact a partnership. We're all partnering together. And in a sense, clearly we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. And clearly even now, we are partnering with Paul because these are his words and we're joining in. He says, I want to bless you guys with a spiritual gift. And you know, people go, well, I wonder what that gift is. Well, he tells us what the gift is. All right? Verse 11, for I long to see you in order to impart to you some spiritual gift in you that we may be established. That is, or that gift is, we may be encouraged together. I believe that the spiritual gift was a mutual gift of encouragement. Lifting each other's hands off means encourage, breathe courage into someone. Paul makes it clear that he will not come as simply the teacher, but he will come expecting to be encouraged and to be a mutual encouragement. Friends, when Christians gather, we're not all here, you're not just here to receive. You're here to give. You're here to give. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's a pat on the back. Whatever it may be, this is mutual. We're a partnership here for the cause of Christ. William Carey, another one of my heroes, a missionary in India. When he was about to board a ship to India to begin his missionary service there, some friends were asking him if he really wanted to go through with his plans. It was so dangerous. Expressing his great desire for their support and prayer, he says, Carrie would say, I will go down into this pit itself if you will hold the rope. Friends, who are you holding the rope for today? Who are you encouraging? Who are you praying for or writing little notes of encouragement to that they stay in the fight and they don't give up? That is not just some gift that only a couple people have. That is what the Holy Spirit does in the lives of mature believers. Now, some people may have an extra gift of encouragement or exhortation, and I know that's the case, but we are all called to be encouragement. In Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 4, it says, I beg you, therefore, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And then here it tells us how to walk. With humility. That means it's not all about you. When you come into church here, it's not all about you. Then it says, with humility, gentleness. That means treating people tenderly. Humility, gentleness, patience, being forbearing towards all people, and then doing all you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Friends, this partnership means that I'm giving and I'm receiving. You're giving, you're receiving. And that's what he's telling the church in Rome. Man, I just can't wait to be there so we can exchange encouragement one to another. Closing, I came up and found this example. There was a church that had a Thursday night during the summertime potluck and talent show. Right? And there's this little girl, I'm going to get her name here real quickly here. Her name was Lida. She was a five-year-old, and she was going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. So she comes, can you imagine? Little Lila up on the stage, and she starts singing, the pianist was, and she panicked. And she starts, and the mom came in and said, it's okay. And the pianist began to play, and she panicked. And then in the congregation, start singing with me. Holy, 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 Lord God. And she began to go, yeah. And she began to sing. And then I don't know how many verses of it, six verses probably. She's singing, this five-year-old, holy, holy, holy. Why? Because the body of Christ encouraged her. And then she encouraged them. Friends, that's the gospel. And we're going to fail if we don't keep these three things. One, that our faith is something that we want to transfer to the whole world. We want to tell everyone about Jesus. We want to be praying to that end. And we want to see our lives as a partnership. Friends, it's not about all about me. It's not all about you. It's about him. Before I was a Christian, we went over to this place in Philo, and there was a bonfire and a bunch of people there singing. And these people were telling their testimonies about Christ. And they started singing this song, Pass It On. It's one of the clear Christian hippie songs of the 60s and 70s. All right? And I started thinking to myself, that was the first time probably that I really heard the gospel. And it was someone around a fire pit in Philo singing about Jesus. And the flame lit and would light up a whole bunch of young people in Ukiah and all over the world. Friends, the work's not done yet. If you haven't never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you do that through prayer. And It's the only way you'll get to heaven. He'll deal with sin and death, but it happens as you receive him as Lord and Savior. We repent of our sins and we turn to God, and by his power we're cleansed, by his grace. You do that through prayer. And we need to tell that simple message, but profound one, to every corner of the world. Whether they may be in a communist country or Islamic terrorism or whatever it may be, they need Jesus, and the power of God can change this world. We're going to stand and sing Pass It On. All right. We don't need a guitar. I'll just sing it a cappella, all right? We'll just do one verse. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. Amen. You want to pass it on? All right. Let your faith be spread. Pray for one another, and let's partner together. Heavenly Father, we're not meant to do this alone, but you've called us together as a church, and churches that are meeting all over the world today, we pray for them, that we would fulfill our mission to help for our lives personally to know Christ and to make him known. So Lord, help us in this endeavor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great day, and if you want to be part of the garden thing, right next door, pronto.